I'd like for us to think this evening about something that we focus upon frequently, and that is the value of the Word of God. You listen to BBN, they put tremendous emphasis upon the value of God's people reading, studying, and meditating upon the Word of God. I was thinking, in view of what we were going to look at this evening, on Saturday morning, we've been investigating some things, and it will always come up that indeed the writer, Peter, reminds us that there were false prophets among the people. And there are a lot of false prophets in the world today. There are people that, in handling the Word of God, they don't respect it. They don't put the value upon it that it deserves. I pray that, you know, we'll have that kind of regard for the Word of God that realizes that the Lord has truly blessed us and giving us His Word. And Peter says, in view of that, this last days there will be false prophets. He said they're like wells without water. Wells without water. Clouds that are carried with tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. I'm going to be drawing some water from a deep well tonight. Do you remember, I was here, I think, a few months back. Do you recall what I was drawing, the well I was drawing from? Does anybody recall? I'm just checking to find out. I don't want to embarrass anybody. Does anybody remember? I rarely am able to recall myself as I think about it. If someone asked me that question, I probably wouldn't. But I'll tell you, it was Psalm 22. And that is a deep well. And tonight we're going to draw from that next one. And that's Psalm 23. And we're going to be drawing some fresh, sparkling water. Something refreshing, I hope and pray, from that well. Something that will sustain and keep us. We live in a world where there are a lot of empty words that do no good, and they're not beneficial to God's people. So when we have these opportunities to gather together and we have someone open the Word, we need to pray that they'll open it and draw from one of those wells that refreshes us and sobers us as we think about it, causes us to rejoice. A lot of things that should happen. You know, have you ever had that experience of what I have? I've had it here many times when the speaker would begin to get into something from the Scriptures and it was so good. It just refreshed you. And you were rejoicing in your soul. Some people can't restrain themselves. They shout, "Praise the Lord! Hallelujah!" I hope you don't think there's anything wrong with that. Because there's not. If someone wants to say, "Praise the Lord! Hallelujah!" you ought to join in. And get with it. Get excited about what we find in God's Word. I read something that I think more or less prompted me to go forward to Psalm 23. And it's a little story that I read, I don't know, a long time ago. It had to do with a man. He had to probably have some theatrical background. He was a man that stood before people and he acted and said things, and very impressive. Did it skillfully. He impressed people. And this story goes like this, that he sometimes quoted and recited classics that people liked. They were of great literary value and so forth. But on this particular night, he had decided that he would give the 23rd Psalm. And he had done this frequently. And he was eloquent. And he gave the 23rd Psalm. Great applause. People were just enraptured with this man and how he handled that 23rd Psalm. Not long after that, he was in the same type of setting, and the people were waiting and expecting him to give the 23rd Psalm. A young man stood up and he said, "Sir, I've heard you bring the 23rd Psalm. Would you give me the opportunity to give the 23rd Psalm in lieu of you saying it?" And the man said, paused for a moment. He was really a little bit shocked. But he stood back and he said, "Yes, go ahead, young man, go ahead." And this young man gave the 23rd Psalm. No clapping. No response like the actor received. But people were weeping. Tears were being shed. And this actor had never gotten that kind of response. The story goes that the man asked the boy, "What is your secret? What is your secret in the way you presented that?" He said, "Well, sir, you know the psalm, but I know the shepherd. You know the psalm, but I know the shepherd." You know, tonight, beloved, I do pray to God that every one of us in here know the shepherd. We know him. The Apostle Paul was one of those fellows that I'm a great admirer of his. Do you have people in the Scripture you admire? The Apostle Paul is one of mine. I admire him so much. You know, people that are so dedicated to what they do. You know, Paul is not one of those that is given to compromise or letting up a little bit. He is 100%, as I see it, as he handles and presents the Word of God as it's revealed to him. But as we look at a passage, and the Spirit of God that indwells us certainly takes the Word of God, and it is so powerful. I hope each one of us are impressed with that. It's quick, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. That's what we're handling tonight, the Word of God. We're going to read this psalm. We're going to think upon this psalm just for a few moments and examine some of the thoughts, and the Word of God in all of its sharpness it'll be piercing our hearts. And will it open up your heart? Will you be responsive, or will you be kind of stoic and say, well, I'll listen to another message from the 23rd Psalm and so forth? Are you expectant of something happening in your own heart and soul? Not the whole congregation, but in your heart. Are you expectant of the Spirit of God taking the Word of God And doing an operation on your heart? You're a little bit in limbo. I guess that means that you're just not very excited about anything. You're just kind of laid back, taking things as they come. And there are a lot of things in life you can do that. I tell you what I have heard recently. A man said he looked at television so much, I can't get excited about anything anymore. I've looked at television so much, it's dulled my senses deep within me. When I really hear something, what we're hearing tonight as we read this 23rd Psalm and any part of the Word of God, that quickening power, that sharp power, the dividing of soul and spirit and the discerning of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, it ought to grip us. If it isn't happening, we're in trouble. We're like the fella. Can't get excited anymore about anything. I've seen it all. I've heard it all. I can't get excited anymore. Shame on you. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to get excited about reading the Word of God. And when you detect that the Spirit of God has opened your mind just a little bit more than He has before, and you are receiving something that you haven't received before, get out of that laid back attitude. Get excited about the Word of God. I'm talking to me. I tell you, this old world can put you to sleep in so many areas. You know, the God of this world, and I quote this verse quite frequently, brother told me, my pal, P.C. Perry, he said, you quote that verse a lot. The God of this world blinds the mind of those that do not believe the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, lest the light should shine in. Aren't you going to let a little light into your mind, your heart, and soul? You're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. How dare you be unmoved when you read the Word of God? You meditate upon it. You know, we used to have a brother come here that preached, and people talk about their devotional time, and we've got the little devotional books, and we sit down, many do, every morning, and read a page in the little book. You know what it's called? It's called Daily Bread. He said, it's daily crumbs. It's just crumbs off the table. What you need is some good solid meat from the Word. You need the Word of God. It doesn't look like I'm going to get around to even getting to Psalm 23, doesn't it? But I am. I am. I'm going to get to Psalm 23. And I hope every one of us will listen. And how many in here right now, you're so familiar with the Word of God and Psalm 23 that you have it memorized? How many know the 23rd Psalm? Hey, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Not good enough. Every one of us should know the 23rd Psalm, and a lot more. A lot more than the 23rd Psalm. I thought we would just recite it all of us together as we begin to look at these few verses. Just six verses. Let's recite it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I can't hear you. And I'm not going to go on unless you quote the 23rd Psalm. So if you want me to stop, I will. The Lord is my shepherd. What comes next? I shall not want. Man, volumes are wrapped up in that one statement. The Lord is my shepherd. You have to know something like the boy said, I know the shepherd. I know the shepherd. I know something about this. What does he do? What does the good shepherd do? Still water. Makes me to lie down in green pastures. Oh, the Lord knows exactly where to lead us. And he knows what's there for us. And he knows we need it. He knows we need it. That's the loving care of our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father who gave to us his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's him. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He leadeth me. He leadeth me into green pastures. And what else does he do? What else does he do? Lead me by the still waters. I used to wonder about that. Why still waters? My understanding is that sheep are easily frightened. And if it was a rapid moving streams and the water was all boiling up, it scares them away. But nice, cool, refreshing pools of water that are still, it's just right for them. And again, the Word of God, as we've been reminded, a well. We're going down deep into the well. We're bringing up water. Can't live without it. Can't live without it. The world can't exist without it. Gotta have water. Gotta have water. Ask somebody that depends upon the soil for their living, their livelihood, the farmer. Gotta have some water. We've learned to irrigate and provide water, but we need water. The child of God needs to be led by the still waters. And the Spirit of God will lead you there if you let Him. If you let Him. And He knows that you're searching for something that will refresh you. And He'll take you to a passage of the Word of God that will excite your soul. if you're really under the control of the Spirit of God. If you can't get excited about the Word of God and reading it, brother, sister, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. You've lost touch. You are out of touch. That sounds like it's kind of strong, but it's the truth, and you know it. You can't get excited anymore about the Word of God, reading it, meditating upon it. I can take it or leave it. Yeah, well, I'll tell you something, brother or sister. You left it a long time ago, if that's the way you feel about it. And many of God's people today are just starving to death for the Word of God. And they will not avail themselves of it. Verse 3 says something else. What does it say? Restoreth my soul. Oh, brother and sister, do you know it's so easy to get out of fellowship with the Lord? It's so easy to get occupied with something else. But the Lord, He loves us and He cares for us and He seeks us and He wants to have us restored. You remember those tender words of the Lord Jesus to Peter? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? He had to finally say, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. You know I love you. We need to tell the Lord that we love Him. He tells you He loves you every day. You ever tell Him you love Him? Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord. Deep in my soul, my heart, I love you. That's not popular in the world today. What kind? Are you some kind of nut? Walking around talking about, Lord, I love you. Yes. I'll be a nut for God. Whose nut are you? You know, you've heard that one. But the world has such a bad attitude toward the things that we should count dearer than anything else we have. Yes. Yes. He restoreth my soul. And that next session says, He what? You call yourself a Christian, don't you? I'm a Christian. Yes, I am. He wants you to walk on the pathway of righteousness. He has provided a pathway that's just right for people that say they're Christians. A lot of Christians are not walking on that pathway today. They're walking somewhere else. I'll walk anywhere I want to walk. Yeah, I know you will. Because you're rebellious. And you think you're going to have your own way. And you enjoy having your own way. Well, brother and sister, you keep on doing that. And your old heart is just as cold as an iceberg. And you're not in touch with that pathway of righteousness that honors God in your life. Why don't you go those places? Why don't you do those things? Why don't you say those things? I'm walking on God's pathway of righteousness. That's where He wants me to walk. That's where I'm going to walk. Well, you look out of place in the world today, this world is not my home. I have a heavenly home. This is just a temporary place for me. I'm on my way home. I'm on my way home. I'm going to be with my Lord. I'm going to be with my Lord. And you know, Gibbs brought some strong stuff. You know what it is about the judgment seat of Christ? We'll be standing there one day. You will. I will. We're going to give an account of what we did with these little lives of ours. What we did with them. I did what I wanted to do. anytime I wanted to. I don't let anybody tell me what to do. Need I tell you, you got a bad attitude? You need an attitude adjustment. If you really think you know the Lord, you better get with it. You say, Bob, you sure are talking plain tonight. That's the only way I know to talk. If you want to hear something else, it's like Mark said, you get a prima donna preacher, one that's catering to the feelings of people that don't even know the Lord. You know, that's sad. That's very sad. We need to talk plainly. We need to draw water from those deep wells. We need to refresh ourselves. We need to walk on the pathway of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I... Isn't that wonderful? You know, the wages of sin is death. Death for you, spiritually, no way. Somebody has already paid your penalty. The penalty for your sin's been paid for. You're walking through this world. Death is everywhere. This world is dead in trespasses and sin. Every one of us at one point in our lives, we were dead in trespasses and sin. And He delivered us. Now we're alive unto God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful. And let God's people get excited about it. His rod and His staff, that authority of God over our lives. Think of what Moses did with that rod. And the Red Sea parted. Think of what God can do in our lives when He applies His authority to us. Call upon Me in the day of trouble. I'll hear you. I will answer your prayer. I will deliver you, and you will glorify Me. That's the psalmist. Again, he's speaking. Thou preparest what? That sounds good, doesn't it? That really sounds good. A nice, lovely table already prepared. Your mind might have turned to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But God, even in this life, He prepares a table before us. And I'll start with the Word of God. Again, starting with the Word of God. Feasting our souls, refreshing ourselves. Not all dried up. And no response to the Word of God. Hearing something precious from the Word of God and it doesn't even move you. Something's wrong, brother, sister. It wouldn't do us any harm to do some crying, weeping. Let some tears flow. Some people are ashamed to cry. I was raised up a stoic. My father wouldn't let you cry. I didn't cry about anything. I'd get in a fight. I had a lot of them when I was a kid. I wouldn't cry. If I got beat up, I wouldn't cry. I wouldn't act like I was even affected by it. But thank God, when He opened up the floodgates and I learned to weep and release all those things that are pent up in our souls sometimes. Our Lord wept. Jesus wept. My Lord wept. Have you ever done any weeping? Have you ever done any weeping over maybe the way things are in your life and you need to be restored and you need to come back to the Lord? I think the Lord looks very favorably upon weeping. Tears! David talked about putting his tears in a bottle. I'm going to save them. One day the Lord will look. You did a lot of weeping in your time. Yes, I did. Had a hard life. And did a lot of weeping. Fellow used to sing a song. He washed my eyes with tears. That wouldn't be bad, would it? Get your eyes washed with some tears. This brings us on down close to the end, because you got a cup now that's running over. Somebody tonight in this audience, your cup might begin to run over. You said, Bob, you really helped me. You helped me. Well, brother, sister, if I've helped you just a little bit, that much, it's worth it. It's worth it. Got you excited again about the fact that you belong to the Lord. You're a child of God. You belong to Him. You're on your way to the glory land. And you're going to spend eternity with God. We use these last words so often at funerals and places to cheer people up. Surely what? You like that? Did you like it? Say amen. Amen. I like that. Goodness and mercy. They're right there on my heel. They're with me all the time. Goodness and the mercy of God is following me. I'm shadowed by something that God has put there for me. All the days of my life. You know, all of us have to confess that, because we weren't always saved. One day, I was on the broad road that leads right down to hell. That's where I was going. That the course was already set. It's a broad way that leads to destruction. My feet, my soul, my total being are on a pathway that leads right into the heart of God. That's where believers are heading. That's where we're going. We're going to be with Him. And we're going to dwell with Him forever. I like that. Everything down here finally comes, as you get old as I am, you go through stages in your life, and finally you know, I don't want to look around the corner, because that may be the last corner I turn. But I'm not afraid to die, because I know where I'm going. Surely that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen, if you're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, He made it possible. Wasn't one earthly thing you could do except receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And don't you ever forget it. And don't you forget every day to thank God for it. You might have thought maybe I was a little too excited tonight, but I don't apologize. I get excited all the time about things of God. It's all right to get excited about it. Don't think there's anything wrong with it. Get excited about being saved and on your way to heaven. God loves that. He wants His children to be excited, motivated, to let that excitement send them out as a witness to others that are not excited about anything but this world. And the world's after us. And world is engulfing mankind at a rate that is staggering. It's staggering. The time is short. Sin is the cause, but what? Christ is the cure. Amen.